You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Hey, woo! I hope you're having a great morning. I hope you're actually having a VIP experience on your sofa, right? Get comfortable, but not too comfortable, because I don't want you to snooze away. I don't want you to be grabbing your phone and checking this website or checking what's on eBay or Gumtree. I want you to lean in. I want you to hear what God has to say to you through me as we look into the text. And I want you to be interactive. Right? Now, I can't see you, I can't hear you, but if you can give me an online hallelujah, an online preach it pastor, an online praise the Lord, that's going to really encourage me. But most importantly, I need you to believe that God will speak to you through me this morning as we look into His Word. I need you to lean in. I need you to turn up the volume. I need you to hear what God has to say. And this morning, I want to talk about joy, even in the midst of fear, that we can have joy when times are a bit tough. So if you have your Bible, turn with me now to Luke chapter 8. And in Luke chapter 8, we're going to read the Word of God from verses 22 to 25. Here's the Word of God. One day Jesus said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat and set out. As they sailed, He fell asleep. So Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped and they were in great danger. The disciples went and woke Him, that's Jesus, saying, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." Jesus got up and rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. "Where is your faith?" He asked His disciples. In fear and amazement, they asked one another, "Who is this? Who is this man? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey Him." You see, in the passage this morning, the disciples, they find themselves in the middle of a raging storm. And they also find their master, their teacher, their Lord Jesus, sleeping away, having a little cat nap. Now, in their, I guess, horror, in their desperation, they would look for Jesus and they would shout out, "Jesus, we're going to die, we're going to drown, help us." Jesus gets up calmly, He rebukes the wind and He settles everything. And in the text, what we notice, there are two questions that would follow. The first question was from Jesus: "Where is your faith?" And the second question from the disciples: "Who is this man?" And I think these two questions only came about during the hardship. Think about that. I mean, the question, "Where is your faith?" It doesn't take on significance when things are going well. Would you agree? I mean, when business is going well, there's probably no need to ask, "Where is your faith?" You know, when your kids are straight A students, when your footy team on top of the ladder, or when you're in uni and you're smashing it, there's really no point. Because it's very easy to say, "Yeah, Jesus, that's where I put my faith. God, that's my hope." But when it's tough and when it's a bit challenging, that question, "Where is your faith?" takes on a bit of significance. The second question, "Who is this man?" And I think that's an invitation for us to explore, who is this Jesus? Especially in a time like this. You know, my experience as a pastor, I know that when times are tough, we tend to ask a lot of questions and we tend to look for answers. And maybe a time like this is the best time to ask that question, "Who is this man? Who is this Jesus?" So this morning, all I want to do is go a bit deeper with those two questions. Where is your faith? Who is this man? So will you pray with me and ask God to help me to unpack His word as we listen to what He has to say to us? So let's close our eyes, let's bow our heads and let's pray. So God, would you help me now as I do my best to expound your word? Would you help me now to bring your word with clarity, with passion, with authority? And I pray that whoever's listening right now would hear you. And may we not be just hearers, but also doers of the word of God. Holy Spirit, I need your strength now. Would you help me? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where is your faith? I personally think we can interpret that question in several ways. I think Jesus is saying, do you trust me over this current dilemma? Or maybe, do you think the current situation is greater than me? Or maybe, do you think I've forgotten you? Or, do you know who I am? See, all these questions here are concerning faith. It's concerning whether we trust in God, and it only takes on significance when times are tough. Isn't it true? That when times are tough, it tests to see whether our faith is really genuine. That's why the Apostle Peter, he once wrote this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. Let me read the Word of God. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, there it is, more precious than gold that perishes though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You know, what is Peter saying? He is saying that trials in life, when life gets a bit tough, God is allowing it to test to see whether your faith is genuine or not. But he also says that the trials of life, the hardships of life, it's not permanent. Look what he says, only for a little while. That means what we're going through as a country, as a world, this pandemic, this virus here, it is not final. It is not permanent. There will be a day when it will end. And if we understand that, if we understand the trials of life is to test our faith, to refine our faith, to grow our faith, and if we understand that the trials of life, this particular pandemic, is not permanent, we can still rejoice when times are tough. That's why at the very beginning of verse 6, he says, you can rejoice. You can still find joy. And remember that God hasn't forgotten us. God hasn't left us. God is still in control. God is still on his throne. And you know what? What we're going through, that's what it means to be human. Like Christians, can I encourage you that that's what it means to be human? Like if right now you're upset with God, you're upset with your pastor, you're upset with the government, the PM, and you think that as a Christian you're exempt from this? No. I want you to know that we are all in this together, whether you are a believer or not. We're all in this together. And as a Christian, you're not exempt to the trials of life. But what we can do is that we need to understand that the trials of life actually test our faith to see whether it's genuine. And it also grows our faith. It refines our faith. Let me try to explain that. For most of you, or maybe some of you, you know that I used to be a high school teacher. And most teachers, we have assessments. So we're always handing out exams and tests. And I do know that I hand out these exams or these tests to my poor students so that they would endure it, ultimately to prepare them for the big test at the end of year 12. Most high school teachers, we want to prepare our students for the big test at the end of year 12, but also to prepare them for the test they may experience in uni or TAFE, and also the tests of life. Now, yes, these assessments are very stressful to the students, but you know what? A little bit of stress is actually good for them. It gets them studying, right? It gets them asking questions. It gets them preparing for what is to come, and you know what? It gets them growing. And I apply, guess what? I apply the same principle at home with my boys. Like, I've got children, and in the morning, I usually ask my children, hey, what time would you want Dad to take you to school? And my two boys would usually say, well, Dad, can we leave at 8:25 a.m.? And I'm like, yeah, sure. Yep, we'll leave at 8:25 a.m. So I would usually go in my car by 8:25, and I wait. I wait in the car. I don't run into the house and hurry them or run into the house and get their lunches ready. No, I just wait in the car. And you know what? The very first few times we tried this, the boys are still watching TV. They're still watching TV all the way to midday. Now, that's a joke, right? That's a joke. But you know what? They realize that they're late and it's stressful for them and it's stressful for me and it's definitely stressful for their poor mother. And they run out and we go to school and they actually go to school late. And I let them go to school late. But you know what? as they go through this period of trials and testing, my boys today, I can proudly say my boys today are never late to school. In fact, they're in the car before me. You see, a bit of stress, a bit of trials, it tests your faith, but it also refines your faith. It also grows your faith. And I believe that's what's happening right now. That we can still rejoice. That maybe right now, the events of the world is really revealing your faith. And maybe your faith is a bit rocky. Maybe your faith is a bit, you know, wonky. Here's a good time to speak to someone. Here's a good time to speak to your leaders or your pastors or your elders and share with them your uncertainty. Share with them your fears and let them encourage you and let them pray for you. But never ever, please never ever give up. Don't give up. Don't say this is too hard. I don't want to become a Christian anymore. I want to give up. I want to go into my house and lock myself in and I don't want to do life. I don't want to be loving people. Do not do that. You know what? This bug here, this virus here, hasn't stopped you from being a Christian. You're still a Christian. And you still have a role to play, which is to love people and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So don't give up. Don't be afraid. Keep loving your neighbors. Keep sharing the good news. Did you know that the Apostle Paul, the apostle that wrote most of the letters in the New Testament, do you know that four of his letters, the letters to the Colossians, the Philippians, you know, Ephesians, Philemon, they were all written when Paul was in prison. Did you know that? Now, I've never been to prison before, but from what I can see in the movies, right, it's a pretty tough place. It's pretty challenging. And Paul didn't go, oh, woe to me, it's so hard. It's so challenging. I'm locked away. I'll give up. I'll give up my faith. No. Paul said, I'm still going to love people. I'm still going to encourage people. I'm still going to spread the good news. And he starts to write all these wonderful letters to these churches. I want you to know that you're still a Christian, that you're still on mission, and you're still called to love people, to encourage them with the message of hope. Find creative ways to reach them. Don't let fear get in the way of faith. We are the people of God. We are a people of faith, and we shall never let fear get in the way. We're not going to hide. We're not going to run away from the situation. We're going to believe that God is able to change the situation and give us the grace and the power and the strength to reach people. This is an opportunity for us to shine bright. And you know what the evil one is up to? The enemy? He wants to take this opportunity to discourage you and me. He wants us to say, it's too hard. Give up. Don't worry about the gospel. Don't worry about loving your neighbor. Don't worry about sharing the toilet roll. Keep it for yourself. That's what he's doing. He wants to put fear into your world. But you know what? The Bible says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. The Apostle John, he writes this. You, dear children, you are from God. People, we are the people of God. And we have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one in the world. Friends, God is with us. God has not left us. Great is he who is in us than he in the world. We are still the people of God. We are still on mission. We are still called to get out there and reach people and love people and share the good news to these people. And we would not stop. We would not let this virus put us in our little shell and roll over and give up, because we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him according to the purposes that he has called you and I. And I want to encourage you that right now, this is an opportunity for you to assess your faith, and may God grow your faith in this season. You know, as your pastor, can I say something? Social media. Use social media to encourage the people around you. All right. Can I be honest? There are some of us from our church and outside our church, you're forever sharing posts of the coronaviruses. You're, you know, posting things like, you know, how many people have been infected and how many people have died and how many toilet rolls are left in coals. You know what? All that, right? It breeds fear. If you look on your feed and you've got the majority of your feed, things on corona this, corona that, I think what you're doing is you're elevating this virus. Our job is to starve it and grow faith. Let's begin to share hope. Let's begin to share the love of God. Let's begin to share scripture. Let's begin to remind people that God is in control, that God is still on his throne, and God is able. And this virus, come on, it's still under the rule and reign of God. So check your feed. Maybe it's the best time to start deleting all these corona articles. Start putting in scripture. Start lifting up the name of Jesus. Because we are a people of faith, the people of God, and we are still on mission to love people and share people with the good news of Jesus Christ. May our faith be grown and strengthened and refined in a time like this. May we can still rejoice despite what is going on. Where is your faith? I pray that your faith is still in God. I pray that your faith is still in a God who sits on his throne. He rules in his reign. And his kingdom will never fail. Amen. The second question is, who is this man? Who is this man? And here's the irony. Here's the funny thing as I read this during the week. I mean, prior to that, like the disciples, they've witnessed a lot of miracles. I mean, they've seen Jesus turn water into wine. I mean, what a great party trick to be able to turn Mount Franklin mineral water into Corona. I mean, maybe that's not the best beer. Another beer. You get the point, right? What a great party trick. And they've witnessed that, right? They've seen Jesus heal so many people. They've even seen Jesus cast out demons. And they've also witnessed Jesus raise a dead man from the dead. I mean, this should not be a surprise. This should not be a surprise for these disciples to see Jesus rebuke the wind and calm the storm. Look in verse 25 of Luke chapter 8. In fear and amazement, they were amazed. They've never seen this before. And they asked one another, who is this? I mean, who is this man? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. I think the reason why they were amazed is because there's only one other person who have authority over winds and waves. That's God himself. You know, the psalmist writes this about God. Let's go to Psalms 29, verses 3 and 4. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. Psalms 89, verse 9. You, that's God, you rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount, you still them. You silence them. You calm them. You see that? Only God has the authority and the power to rule over creation because he is the creator. And that's part of the reason why the disciples were amazed. Could this really be God? Could this be God in the flesh? Emmanuel, God with us. You know, for Christians, I'm preaching to the Christians. We believe that Jesus is God. Amen? We believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, the God of the universe, the God who came to save us, the God who came to look for us, to pursue us, to love us. That's the Christian faith, that God came in Jesus to save us. For us, who is this man? Who is Jesus? He is God. You know, other faiths would say, well, you've got to pursue God. You know, other faith would say, God would never come for you. You've got to work really hard and do the right things. And then God may love you. God may allow you to be in fellowship with him. But that's not the Christian faith. We can't save ourselves. We can never reach God. We're just dying, waiting for God to reach us. You know, personally for me, I've experienced drifting out at sea and just waiting to meet death. I have. You know, my family and I, we were refugees from Vietnam back in 1980. That's 40 years ago. We were drifting out at sea. I remember as a little boy asking my father, Dad, where is dry land? How come we're still out here? Will someone ever rescue us? You know, I know what it means to feel hopeless. I know what it means to just wait and hope that someone would come along and rescue us. And here's the gospel, that God would come in the midst of our hopelessness. Who is Jesus? He's God. He would come to rescue us. He would come to save us. He would come to give us hope. He would come to open up a path for us to be in relationship, to be in connection with Him. That's who Jesus is. And I love that about the gospel, because it's not based on what I have done, because I can do nothing to be in relationship with God. It's based on everything God would do, that God would leave heaven to be man, to be servant, to be death, death on a cross, so that in His death and resurrection, you and I may have relationship with Him. That's why we call it the good news. That's why we call it the wonderful good news of God, the message of grace, that you and I would never ever be able to deserve this good news, but He would offer this gift of salvation for us. You know, I remember when I was finishing up my teaching days, I was given the chance to do some chaplaincy work in a local high school. And I was teaching the students the topic of grace, the meaning of grace. And I had this large box of chocolate, huge box of chocolate. And before me would have been around 600-700 students. And I, on purposely, I gave this box of chocolate to like one of the naughtiest students. I mean, when I gave this chocolate to this student, it was a riot. Everyone was complaining. Everyone's going like, that can't be fair. You know, why did that student get that gift? You know, we all know what justice is. We all know what is deserving and what is undeserving. And you know what justice is for you and me? Is God not leaving heaven and being Jesus. A justice for you and me is God letting us drift away in that sea of sin and meeting death face to face. That's justice. But God didn't give us that. God gave us hope. God gave us grace. God gave us love. Who's Jesus? He's God in the flesh. He's a loving God who came to meet you and me. That's why I believe that it's a wonderful invitation. This very Jesus who calmed the raging sea and rescued the disciples is the very Jesus who can rescue you and me in the storms of life. He can rescue us from our sickness. He can rescue us from our job loss. He can rescue us from our broken marriages. He can rescue us even from death. This is what Paul, the Apostle Paul, once wrote to the church in Rome, in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know what? We all deserve death, but who is Jesus? He is God in the flesh who would offer us this gift of salvation. So maybe right now in this season where you are searching for answers, in this season where you go, well, this is hopeless, I want you to know there is still hope. I want you to know that this Jesus is God. The God who calmed the storm can also calm your storm. He's inviting you to encounter Him. He's inviting you to meet Him. May Jesus be your Savior. May Jesus be your God. May Jesus be your hope, your security, and your ultimate joy, your prized possession and treasures. God bless. Thank you for listening. Those two questions again. Where is your faith? I pray that your faith is in God. I pray that in this season, God has strengthened your faith, that you are still on mission to reach people. Sun Lifers, I'm speaking to you as your pastor. Don't be afraid. God's got this. We're still on mission. Let's get out there and reach people and love people. Exercise wisdom. Be wise. But never give up on loving people. Share them the good news of this God who came. Who is He? His name is Jesus. He is our God. He is our Savior. He is our hope. He is our joy, and we shall still have joy despite the fears and troubles of this world. Hey, let me pray. Let me pray for us all.